Good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? Good. Well, there was a lot of talking that was happening. So I how are we this morning? I know that you are good because I heard those conversations happening at the back. So you have the lovely privilege of having me. Because Pastor Steve, I don't know why he does this to me. He just decides to do a runner and just leaves me. But you know what? We love our pastor. So please, when he comes back, say good things. That Taffy said good things about him. Well, I am very excited to be with you today. We have been doing a series on, do you know what? I'm going to butcher this name, but that's okay. The theology name for it is, oh man, you see, that is why we have a congregation. Soteriology. Whatever you heard, that's what the right thing is. But all you need to remember is that we are doing a study on the salvation, on salvation. So soteriology, you see, if you say it quickly, then, you know, you just... Soteriology is the study of salvation. And you know what? If you forget all of that stuff that I said at the beginning, all you have to remember is Jesus saves. Okay? Church, what does Jesus do? He saves. That's all you need to remember. So, you know, but, you know, Pastor Steve said, oh, Taffy, you cannot say the word. But I was like, but I need to say the word. I need to overcome and conquer this. So we've been doing this series on Jesus saves. And if you haven't been with us in the last 2 weeks, the first week we spoke about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? You know, what has Jesus done on the cross for us? And then last week, Pastor Steve did an amazing job and he spoke on redemption. You know, that we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. So this week I have the lovely task of talking about reconciliation. So it's such a wordy word, right? That you can't even like... shorten it. But reconciliation, a lot of us know the word reconciliation. We most probably use it so many times. And with everything that is happening in the world, we're just going, man, we just need these countries to reconcile so nothing crazy happens, right? Am I the only one who's thinking that? You know, if you don't know what's happening in the news, God bless you, carry on. May the Lord be with you. But, you know, I don't get that luxury because the news happens every day in our house. So I know what's happening in the world. And, you know, we're just praying, you know, Lord, would these countries just reconcile, you know? Would these countries come to an agreement where they're not hating each other? They don't even need to love each other. They just need to not do crazy things that's just going to erupt the world. So when we think of reconciliation, we're seeing two enemies that are coming together, coming to an agreement and going, let's just stop. Let's not do this, right? You know, I asked Jenna, I said, Jenna, do you know what the word reconciliation means? Why should I? You know, she's clever. Of course she knows. And she explained it to me. And I was like, wow, I didn't think you would know what it means. But I'm going to refresh our memories. So reconciliation is, now I need to know where I am in my notes. Yep, I found it. Reconciliation is the act of coming to an understanding. We need to remember this word. We have to come to an understanding and putting an end to hostility as when the former enemies agree to an amicable truce. Okay? So basically, we're coming to an understanding. We're ending whatever hostility and enmity that we have with each other, and we're coming to a truce. So what does that have to do with Christianity? Well, everything was going great in Genesis 1 and 2. Trust me. You can read it and you will know what's going on. But you know what? I'm just going to shorten that version. So when mankind was created, Genesis 1 and 2, things were going great. Us and God, we were besties, you know. We were chilling in the garden. Things were good. Everything was going great. And then Genesis 3 happens, you know. Three is a good number. So, you know, we need to love three. But, man, that Genesis 3 was not great for us. And in that time, Genesis 3, that's when sin entered and we were separated from God. And then there was a divide. So when we read this definition about reconciliation, we, God and man, needed to come to an understanding to end that separation of sin that was dividing them so we could go back to being friends again. So I love what it says. It says, since the Lord had been wanting to restore this relationship with us, there needed to be a perfect sacrifice. And we all know that. You know, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that was the perfect sacrifice that was needed to restore us back to being with God. Because God was perfect, we let sin enter in, and then we ruin this beautiful relationship and harmony that we had. But then Jesus comes and he restores that. So when you think of reconciliation, think of the word restoration. He restores. That is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He came and he restored that gap that was between us and God so we could walk in relationship with him. So today there's only two things that I'm going to touch on. You know, I'm not even going to make this complicated. Just two things, and it's going to be, we're going to look at what does it mean to be reconciled to God and how is a person reconciled to God. And then the second thing is, as people who have been reconciled to God, what should we do? Okay, because I think we're very good at the first one where we go, what does it mean to be reconciled with God? How does a person get reconciled to God? You know, we're good with that part. But actually, we never then take it a step further where we actually go, what do I need to do now that I am reconciled with God? How, what is my mandate as a Christian walking in this reconciliation? How do I as a Christian move forward in what God has done on the cross? So in the New Testament, when Apostle Paul writes about being reconciled to God, he is referring to a restoration of friendship between man and God. So that's all that reconciliation is. For us as Christians, it's a restoration of friendship between man and God. And that's nice, and it's simple, and it's good. And we find that in Romans 5, verse 1. And then we're also going to do verses 6 to 11. And it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And then we go on to verse 6 and it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed this great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And that is a beautiful picture. When I read that, I was like, man, this is just the whole story. This is why we exist. This is why, you know, Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could be restored. We could be restored to that relationship with God. And a lot of us, because we've said yes to Jesus Christ, and if you haven't, there will be an opportunity for you to do that at the end. But, you know, we've said yes to this relationship with Jesus. That means we have been restored. That separation that was between us and God, that has been restored. And we are able to walk in harmony and in peace with God. So that's the beginning part. You know, John 3:16, that's the beautiful sacrifice that Jesus made, that he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so now we know why we are reconciled to God. Yes? Yes? Okay, all right. So we're going to go to the second part, which is going to take some time because this is the part where we kind of struggle with, you know. So as people who've been reconciled to God, what should we do? The first thing we should do is we need to walk with him. Just as what happened in Genesis 1 and 2, when Adam and Eve, when they were created, they walked with God. There was peace between man and God. It was a great harmony. You know, how many people have people that they love very dearly in their lives? Oh, that should be. I was about to say that should be all of us. You might not have people you love dearly. But, you know, when you love someone very dearly, we're thinking about the good times, okay? Don't think about, oh, they just annoyed me. They didn't do A, B, C, D. No, we're not thinking about that. We're on the good side of things. When we love someone and you're walking with them, isn't it a beautiful thing? Right? And you're with them. You've got all the feels. You know, you're just like, It is a great day. It doesn't matter if it's pouring outside. You're just like, isn't it just a beautiful day today? You know, I have just come back from Papua New Guinea and I was with one of my best friends. And I don't know, I think I forgot. I think I had a memory. I had an amnesia or something about how hot it is in Papua New Guinea. Like, I think, like, it's really hot. Like, we think it's hot when we're here and we have that heat wave. Experience heat and humidity and just uncomfortableness. And I was like, I need to take 5,000 showers, but there's not enough water to take 5,000 showers. I need to have the aircon on every time, but there's not any electricity to have the aircon on every time. You know, just the struggle was real. And I was just keeping it to myself because, you know, I didn't want to be that person, you know, that's complaining every 5 seconds about how hot it is. So I'm with my friend, right? So I've left our Youth of the Mission campus base, the capital city, and I've gone to some village. She lives in a village. And so I knew there is not going to be anything. So, and power cuts happen all the time. They can happen for a whole week, you know? So a whole week you could have no electricity. So I'm going and I'm like, I love my best friend. It's going to be great. So then we get there and there hasn't been any power since 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, great. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, oh, it's so good to see you. And it was good to see her. But it was hot, guys. It was just so hot. But we're sitting at the beach. Don't think like glamorous beach. You're on some beautiful white sand. It's just, you know, just a rough kind of beach situation. They're like, let's go to the beach. There'll be a cool breeze. There was no cool breeze. It was just stagnant. So I was like, yeah, this is beautiful. But let me tell you, we're sitting on a log because, you know, there's no chairs. We're sitting on the log on the beach and it's like, oh, feel this fresh air. There wasn't any fresh air. And we're sitting there. But you know what? I just looked at my best friend. I hadn't seen her since 2016. And I looked at her and we're chatting away. I was hot. I was bothered. It was just crazy. But I was sitting with her in this heat and it was just a beautiful thing. And I just said, wow, it is good to be with you. We like climbed a lot of mountains and there was a lot of crazy things that happened. The electricity didn't come back until 11 in the evening. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good. I was with my best friend and it was a beautiful thing. So I want you to think about this, that, you know, we have been reconciled with God to walk with him, just as Adam walked with God at the beginning of creation. Jesus was the perfect example of what it means to walk in this broken and corrupt world. He demonstrated what it means to enjoy relationship with the Father and walk in complete joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is all in Galatians. So sometimes we think, do you know what? It's all fair and fine because Jesus was perfect. You know, he was, you know, the Son of God. Of course he was on this earth and it was all great. But you know what? Jesus was 100% human. So if you were like me, sitting by that beach, sweating, Jesus would be right there by my side sweating as well because he was 100% human. So how my body worked is how his body worked. But the difference was he had relationship with God. The difference was his mindset was way much greater than what his circumstances around him were. When we are reconciled with God, no matter what situation we are in, we will be living in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control because of who God is in our lives. By this example, we too can be living closely with God and be doing the exact same thing that Jesus did. So we're going to go to Colossians 1 verse 19 to 20. And it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace with his blood shed on the cross. You know, that's what it means to walk with God. That he, because we said yes to him, that this bridge between us has been broken, like this gap between us has been broken, and we've been reconciled to him, we can walk in the fullness of all that he has for us. The second part about us walking and being reconciled with God is we need to be reconciled with each other. So this is the part where things get a little bit tricky. Because when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are good with, Yes, salvation. Thank you, Jesus. You've saved me. You've forgiven my sins. I have been redeemed. You paid the price. And we've been reconciled with each other, me and God. Yep, that's great. And that's it. Lord, there's that annoying person that sits at me at work, and they are so annoying. So I'm going to move to the other side of the room and sit there because I don't want to have to deal with their stuff. It says that we have been reconciled with each other, which means that when things happen, one, as the body of Christ with each other, and we're not walking in right standing with each other, we need to restore that relationship with each other. Because we understand that we've been reconciled to God. We've been restored to God. So in that same way, we need to restore relationships with each other. But also, not just in the church, but we need to restore relationships with each other outside of the church. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This just shows that this is the promise that God had for us. Not just me, but for every single person. So when I am restoring relationship with the person next to me, with Ellie. So if Ellie comes and she does something, which she does all the time, you know, she hits me over the head, or, you know, she kicks me, or she says something and I'm like, oh, that just hit my heart, Ellie. How could you? You know, I have a responsibility to, you know, make things right with her, not walk away and go, Ellie, that's it. It's over. Our friendship is over. We will never talk to each other ever again. Oh, by the way, things are good between me and Ellie, just in case you're wondering, you know. I have a responsibility because of what Jesus has done on the cross to actually go, Ellie, actually, when you said that, my heart was not okay with that. You know, can we have a chat about that? You know, there's many ways to do it, but we get so scared about it because we go, actually, it's just easier for me to walk away. But is it easier for us to walk away? Because we're causing a rift. And that is not what Jesus Christ came on this earth to do. He came so that we could be restored to him, but we can also restore relationship with each other. In Matthew 5, verse 22 to 24, it says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar, so this is very challenging. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. You know, how many of us, when we're in the middle of worship and God says that we need to make things, or reminds us that, okay, I wasn't walking right with that person, you know, we need to make it right. How many of us would stop and actually go and make that right with that person? You know, we have a saying in our house, and my mom is going to kill me, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay. She loves Jesus. She's been reconciled with God, and we are to reconcile with each other. And I'm not looking in that direction. But we have a saying in our house is that, please don't cause me to stumble. Like, your actions right now are causing me to be removed. Like, in our language, it would be like, more like, your actions are causing me to be removed away from the cross, you know. I'm not being Jesus-like right now because of stuff that's happening. You know, obviously, I have to sort out my actions as well. And I shouldn't be so sensitive to react to that. But, you know, so if something is happening, I'm like, Mom, we're about to go to church. Please don't cause me to stumble because I want to go to church and worship God properly. You know, my mom, it's not that she causes me to stumble all the time, you know. We're humans. We cause each other to stumble. But anyway, oh man, I really wish I survived when I get home today. Mom, I do love you. I do love you. But I'm giving that example because sometimes things will happen and we cause each other, you know, to have that little rift in relationship, and we need to make it right there and then. You know, obviously I do reflect on my actions and I go, okay, I shouldn't have reacted that way. Oh, I should have spoken to you in a better way. And I do go back to my mom and say, Mom, I'm really sorry. One day she said, I'm so tired of you saying you're sorry all the time. Can you just do better? And I was like, actually, yeah, I should just do better. But, you know, we need to reconcile and make things right with each other. And that verse is very challenging because it's putting us in that position. You know, he's saying, before you even go and spend time with me, go and make it right with your brother and sister. You know, and sometimes that means you might just need to acknowledge it and say, God, I actually don't even know where to begin to make it right with this person, and I'm still angry, or things are still very raw and real with me. Lord, would you help me and minister to my heart right now? It's the fact that we need to acknowledge that something is not okay with our brother and sister in Christ, our brother and sister in the physical, you know, whoever it is, if it's another person that God so loved dearly that he also died on the cross for them, we need to make that right with that person. So an interesting example, when in 2015, I went to Australia and I did a discipleship training school, which is a great school, but I don't think I knew what I was walking into. I thought it was like, oh yeah, we're going to study the Bible for 3 months and then I'm going to go on outreach and it's going to be amazing. And Pastor Stephen Kersey, I'll see you when I come back. They knew that, you know, God had other plans for me. But this 3 months was more like heart surgery. Like, it was literally like, open the word of God. What is God saying? This is what he needs to deal with in your heart. So I was like, oh, I did not expect this. So 3 months, I'm like, oh, Lord, I thought I was good, but no, I am not good. So after the 3 months, I'm like, yes, I've done this. It's amazing. We're going to go on outreach. It's going to be all about other people. Yeah, God was still doing some more heart surgery. So we're on the first outreach, right? And it's a group of us, 10 people from all different types of the world. And there's this girl. And oh, I'm not even going to say her nationality because that's not fair. Okay, so there's this girl right on our team, and she's very outspoken and has a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And she was just really annoying the group. And to the point where we got to week 3 of our outreach, and everybody has an issue with her. Like, even the nicest of people have an issue with her. So we are taught things like, you know, make things right with your brother and sister before we go into a time of worship as a group. Make things right. And if things are not right, we give an opportunity to do that. So we're practicing the things that are happening in the Bible. So, but then it's gotten to the point where she's doing it so many times that people are just tired. You know, like, you know what? What's the point? What's the point in me just going and making things right with her? Because you know what? As soon as we say amen, she's going to do something again that's going to offend the group. So now I'm like, oh, guys, we shouldn't do that, because anytime she wasn't around, it was this opportunity to start talking about how annoying she was. And I was like, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm just trying to be close to Jesus and do the best that I can in this. So I'm going to walk away from these conversations and actually stop them and be like, guys, we shouldn't do that. But yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Until one day she came. And man, she rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, are you kidding me? I know the stuff you do is real, but man, now it's happening to me. And I'm like, so I am so upset. So I go to my leader and I say, I need you to pray for me. Really, I just wanted my leader to go talk to her so she could sort herself out so that we could all live in harmony. So I'm thinking I'm justified. So I'm like, I'm really struggling with this girl. I've done everything. I've prayed. I've read my Bible. I've tried to love her, but it's just not working, and I am so over it, and I don't know what to do because it's really annoying me now. And you know what she said? She said, go pray, and when you pray, first pray a blessing over her. And I was like, well, there's nothing good to think about her because she's just doing everything wrong, and everybody says she's doing everything wrong. It's just not me. And she said, start by praying a blessing. Just say, Lord, I bless her. Lord, I bless her, and just speak the promises of God over her life. And I was like, I don't want to speak the promises of God. I want God to come, you actually, go sort this girl out, remove her from our team so we could all live in harmony. And she was like, go do that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be that obedient child. So I went and I prayed, and I was like, okay, got out my frustrations again. And I said, okay, let me start this prayer. You know, I'll give it a go. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to work. I started praying. Yes, the first part was hard. And then I started praying some more and some more. And then it hit me. At that moment, Jesus said, I died for you on the cross. I forgave your sins. What was it like when you gave your life to me, Taffy, and you realize the sacrifice I made on that cross for you? What was it like? And I was like, Lord, it was the most beautiful thing. And he said, just the same way it was for you, I have done the same for her. So how come you're not extending the same love? There is nothing special about you that you think you would be better and more deserving of my sacrifice than she is. Because right now your attitude is making, you're making it seem as if your sacrifice is better. You are a better person for me to die for than for me to die for this girl. At that moment, it hit me so hard. And I started weeping before the Lord and saying, Lord, please forgive me. May I see her in the light of which you see her in. I share this story because so many times when we read this message about making things right with each other, it's so easy for us to say, but they are wrong. Even when there's a whole crowd of people supporting you. I had a whole team supporting me going, yep, yep, she is the worst. She is the worst. What are we going to do about it? Let's kick her out. But what would Jesus do? Jesus came on this earth. He lived this life. And he walked out Galatians 5 with love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. And I'm going to forget some. But he did that so well in his flesh, even when he was justified to say, do you know what, but I'm in the right. He still loved. And this is what we have been called to do when we reconcile ourselves to God. In Matthew 22, verse 34 and 40, when we look at the great commandment, we don't actually think about reconciliation when we think of it. But actually, that is the story of reconciliation. In the Old Testament, there were so many laws about how to make yourself right with God. But when Jesus came, he just reduced it to two laws, two commandments that he gave us. And in Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, the disciples are asking, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this is what we've been talking about. When God, Jesus came, that we would be reconciled with him, which is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then Jesus came that we would be reconciled with each other, which is love your neighbor as yourself. In that moment with that girl, in her all her annoyance, I was not loving my neighbor as I love myself. Because if I loved myself, I would not be doing and reacting the way that I would. Because I wouldn't want that. Sometimes we need to stop and go, if I was to love myself in this situation, what would I do for myself? And that will be your answer of how to extend love to the other person. So let's commit to being a church that loves one another as Jesus loved us. All right, so our last part is that we are to reconcile others to him. We are to be agents of reconciliation. And this part, sometimes we do it well, and sometimes we just might not do it that well. So in Luke 10, when the disciples went out to tell Jesus about the kingdom of God, to tell people about the kingdom of God, many people were healed. Jesus instructed the disciples to tell them who were healed, that the kingdom of God has come to be near to them. So like Jesus and the first disciples, we are carriers of God's kingdom. So when we're going out there, we are to be agents of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've read this verse before, but it goes further and it says, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God was making an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And it gets me every time. The first time I ever read those verses, it got me where it says, God is making an appeal through us. He's not making an appeal through anybody else, through you, the one that has been reconciled to him, the one that knows him. He's going, I am appealing towards you. Please be those people that minister reconciliation in every situation that you go to. So yesterday we were celebrating my sister-in-law's birthday, and we've been celebrating it for the whole month, just in case you're wondering. But anyway, that's besides the point. They're big birthday people. I'm a big birthday person. So we had a group of friends, and we were going to this establishment. Again, I won't name the establishment, but it was a beautiful story. So we're going to this establishment. We get there. We need a table of 21. I know it was a big party. So they've already talked to the hostess who's there, and she's like, oh, okay, because we have so many people, we don't know, you know, when the table is going to... So they've already resolved the situation. They're like, okay, how can we make this easier for you? So, you know, you're like, we understand you're busy. So my brother and our friend Ez were there, and they're like, okay, how can we make this easier for you? Should we stand here and wait until the tables are available, or do you want us to leave you our number and we just walk around the grounds, because it was just open grounds? So the supervisor comes in midway, right? Midway. All she hears is, we're going to leave you our number and we're going to walk around and you tell us when the tables are ready. And she just blew it. She blew it. She was like, this is not what we... And she's like raising her voice. And I'm like, we're creating a scene. We don't want to create a scene. She raises her voice. This is not what we do in this establishment. You just come. Whatever happens, happens. We're going to have to split you up. She goes on and on and on. So both my brother and my and our friend stand there. The hostess is also standing there. She's going for one, you know? And then she finishes and they go, yeah, she's already explained that to us. What we were saying is, how can we make life easier for you? Do you want us to stand, to have someone stand here and wait until these tables are available or not? And she goes, oh, but you don't under... And it was like, no, it's fine. We're okay with the fact that our party is going to be split. And she realized like, oh, I have misunderstood what's happened and I just created a whole scene. So she goes, well, okay, all right. If you should have said that in the beginning. And so my brother and, you know, our friend just left it at that, and they're like, okay, we're going to wait. Anyway, our table comes, and it's two tables, and they split in different places, and we're okay with it. But as the service continues, and, you know, we are just loving on the people that are serving us, you know, and in the end, we end up having a, you know, long table. And, you know, I want to say we were an easy bunch, but, you know, thank goodness we had smiles and we loved Jesus. But, you know, people were like, yeah, I want this, but I don't want cheese and I don't want this. And with still a smile on their face, you know. You know, people had different, you know, things happening in their bodies. But so at the end, right, we're paying our bill, which is also a split bill, which is, you know, if you've ever done waitressing, that is like the worst thing that can happen. It's like, we have done all of this and now you're going to split the bill. And, you know, anyway, so... You know, everything, we're like, please, thank you. You know, everything is a beautiful situation. Well, for us. I really hope it was for them. But at the end, you know, in that moment, I just realized that this hostess, throughout it, she still came and she still asked. I know it's their job. But in that moment, I really had a prompting in my heart to just go, I really want to say thank you. I know we've been a really big group and there's a lot that has happened and it's a Saturday and it's so busy, but I want to say thank you so much for continuing to serve us with a smile. And you know what she said? She said, do you know what? Despite everything that has happened, it has been a joy to serve you guys. I've had so much fun and you guys are a group like no other. And it was just a joy to serve you. And in that moment, like last night, I was reflecting and, you know, it just dropped in my head. It was like, that's what it means to be agents of reconciliation. You know, in any situation where there's conflict, we shouldn't be adding to the conflict. You know, there were moments where we were justified because, you know, she misread the situation and made it escalate. But we're not called to escalate things even more and say, well, you see, you got it wrong, so you need to give us this, this, this. No, but how are we carrying love, joy, peace, patience, self-control? They need a lot of self-control in that situation. Self-control. You know, how are we carrying that in our everyday life so that we can be the picture of reconciliation? That is what Jesus was every single day. So, in closing, I still had 5,000 things to say, but you know, time is running away from us, and I want to be loving to the Kiss Church team. But you know, I want you to read as you go home, you know, read John 4 and look at it through the lens of reconciliation. That was a perfect picture of reconciliation in John 4. And if some of you don't know what's happening in John 4, that is when the Samaritan woman, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jews and Samaritans never mixed, you know. Samaritans were viewed as the unclean of unclean people. Like no Jew would ever speak, touch, or do any interaction with the Samaritan. But on top of that, a Samaritan woman was deemed to be unclean from the day they were born. So this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is showing us a message of reconciliation. God is not just showing, Jesus is not just in that situation bringing who the Father is to this woman, but actually he is reconciling a whole culture, a whole tradition, you know, a whole religious thing, and going, let the Jews and the Samaritans be reconciled with each other so that they can be reconciled to God. Because Jesus came not just for the Jews, but he came for each and every one of us. Helen, you can come up. So I just pray that you're encouraged that, you know, as you leave today, that the message that we'll be sharing of reconciliation is that firstly, we are demonstrating what it means to be reconciled to God by the way we live our lives. Let us be carriers of his love, joy, and peace, and reconciled with each other. Let us be people that are looking to restore relationship with each other. And secondly, let's be people that are sharing the gospel. So in whatever way that you are doing, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, let's not be people that escalate the situation, but let's be people that bring the presence of God in everything that we do, so that we would be agents of reconciliation. And as I close, it says, Mark 16, verse 15, it says, and then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. And the good news is that Jesus came and he died on the cross for us so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could live and walk with him in relationship with God our Father. But above that, so that we could walk in harmony with each other as well on this earth. So let's bow our heads. Some of you may have been listening and you might not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You might be saying, well, that's all fair and fine, but where do I even begin when I haven't even accepted my life to have Jesus in it, for that restoration to happen? I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't have that relationship with God and you are wanting to have that relationship with God, I would ask that you would lift up your hand so we could pray for you. You know, that's just a declaration of just showing, you know, this is the decision that I am choosing to make, to walk with Jesus, to have him in my life. So if that is you, I would encourage you to lift up your hand and we're going to say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the way that I have lived my life. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. And Lord, I'd ask that you would restore me to the Father. Thank you for the sacrifice that your Son Jesus Christ made on the cross. Today, I wholly choose him to enter into my life so that I can be reconciled with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So if everybody would still have their heads bowed, if that was the first time you made that prayer, we would love to walk with you. We would love to pray with you. If you would lift up your hand. But also, there, Mark and Glennis are at the back, and they will be more than happy to talk to you about the decision you have made. And we have, you know, you can come and talk to me. You can come and talk to any one of our leaders. But, you know, I want to pray for a second group of people. Maybe this message was not an easy message for you, because there is reconciliation you need to make with people in your life. And you've been thinking, Lord, I have no idea where to begin. And maybe for you, you might think, I'm good. I'm good with all the relationships in my life. But Lord, I actually haven't been living the life of being an agent of reconciliation, of being bringing reconciliation in my day-to-day life. If that is you, I would like to pray for you and ask that the Lord would just really be with you in this time so that you can live in the fullness of all that God has for you. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each and every person in this place. Lord, I thank you for your message that you are a good God that wants good things for us. You're a God that desires to restore us to yourself, but also desires for us to walk in restoration with each other. So Lord, I pray for people who may have really struggled with this message of restoring relationships with people where there has been hurt, where there has been pain. Lord, I pray that in this moment that you would minister to them, that you would touch them, that Lord, you would show your unconditional love in this situation, because it is by you, Lord, it is by your sacrifice on the cross that we are able to reconcile with each other. So Lord, I pray for courage and love over each and every person. And for the ones that feel convicted of what does it mean to walk as an agent of reconciliation in my day-to-day life, Lord, I pray that you would equip each and every one of us this week, Lord. That we would go through our week looking out and going, Lord, I want to be a light for you in every situation that I am in. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, would you go before us in this week? In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Well, that's it for us today. Enjoy free tea and coffee. Stick around, say hi to somebody. And parents, please don't forget your beautiful children in Kids Church. Have a lovely week, everybody.